Raised Rowdy.
Guys, my name is Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nick Tressler.
And let's welcome Mr. Braxton Keith to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're doing a Surfside today.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Mm. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Heck yeah.
Country
Happy
music.
Afternoon. Some of the podcasts we were just talking, we don't do them on usually because they're at like 9 in the morning, and that's pretty aggressive.
YOLO.
Yeah, it happens. Man, how have you been? I don't want to get right into it right away, but you had a pretty fun weekend, it looked like.
Yeah, dude, it was a blast. I mean, besides the wind, it was a crazy weekend.
Yes. Yeah. Nuts. Was that your first time at Stagecoach?
Yes, sir.
So yeah. Cool. I haven't been, but it looks amazing, and it looked like Sydney Sweeney was singing with everyone.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
They just like had her like trapped in there like until she sang with everybody, or like what? I don't know.
She was probably having a good time. Yeah. Man. It's funny, like every different kind of celebrity likes other kind of celebrity. Like we always hear like like football players love musicians and musicians are like athletes, you know. It's like everybody like thinks the other thing is cool.
Yeah, yeah. The grass is always greener,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and the other
we're talking about Guy Fieri being around there all the time.
Yeah.
Did he have his big bottle of tequila?
Honestly, I didn't even see him walking around. I just saw his he had a big like barbecue place over there where they were they did a bunch of cook-off stuff and then he was at backstage of a bunch of shows, but I didn't see him backstage. There was Tom Hanks was walking around.
Crazy.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah,
he's cool, man. I got to meet him at the listening room randomly. Really? I was just like in this green room, I'm like, oh, your Tom Hanks is here. I'm like, hello.
Nuts. And then from the sound of it and from all the videos, it looked like you popped up during Posty's set and played one of the hits, too.
It was awesome, man. We had a good time. Posty's, he's really cool.
That's sick. How did that come to be? Like, have you met him before, or is it just something, like, kind of got thrown together last minute?
I had never met him, but he kind of reached out to management.
Yeah.
Or his management reached out to management a while back and was like, hey, do you want to jump on stage at Stagecoach? And I was like, hell yeah. Like, no way I'm turning that down. So,
absolutely.
We got to meet a little bit before it and just go over the song and stuff, and he's awesome.
That's so cool.
And so his band learned your song.
Yes, sir.
Y'all played Cozy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Sick. What an honor.
Heck yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
It was badass.
It's crazy how that happens sometimes, but I mean, a festival like that, that's, I think, one of the coolest things is, like, how often are all of these different bands at the same place at the same time?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You get to hang out and see everybody's set. That was the coolest thing is we stayed an extra day so to do some media stuff, and I got to go see a bunch of people's, you know, music that I don't get to ever see. So it was cool.
Like
that's
who? Cool.
Well, I got to see Ty Myers, got to see Jake Worthington. We went and saw Brooks and Dunn, Posty, you know, anybody that we really wanted to, anyone our hearts desired. We just got to go hang out, and, you know, usually when we're playing shows, they're playing shows. So
yep.
It's kind of difficult to get to see your buddies, but it was cool. Get to catch Jake. Everybody and say hi backstage for a quick second, you know?
Yeah, we love Jake. Kurt was playing Ohio Stadium with Jake right before he came to see you guys.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. And Ty. Ty's on that tour also.
That's true. Yeah. It was cool. We saw him. He was hanging in the locker room after, and he was talking about flying out the next day.
We usually Saturday nights, you know, we only play one show a weekend these days, so Saturday nights are not to drink a couple beers and hang out, and you know, Jake's always one of the cats that's hanging with us to the end of the night, you know? And he was like, I better go to bed early. I'm flying Stagecoach tomorrow. So I'm like, Godspeed, brother.
Godspeed. Yeah. Yep.
It was cool, though. He was out. I mean, his set was great. And then
I don't even know if Ty's old enough to drink a beer with us yet.
Yeah. He's definitely not. I think, is Ty 17 or 18?
He's 18.
Yeah. 18.
No way. Really?
Yeah, he's young.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
I thought he was like 21. That's crazy.
He is very crazy. Young.
In the Texas scene, like we talked about a little bit before on the pod, but like, why don't you tell everyone like where in Texas you're from, and maybe some of like the little honky tonks that you got started up in.
Yeah, I'm from Midland, Texas.
Yeah,
and I guess some of my favorite honky tonks to play would have been like Copeland Dance Hall.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorites. Schrader Dance Hall. That's the second oldest honky tonk in Texas. That one's awesome. I love that. Floors, Country Store, obviously. Man, I'm trying to think of some good ones. Hanks and McKinney was really good. They closed that down. Green Hall, obviously.
I want to play there. I've never played there.
Green?
Yeah.
I guess it is a place to play. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's like, you know, as someone that I live in Nashville, and I've done a few spots in Texas, but I've never done that one. So it's always like, that's kind of like a bucket list spot, I think. But
yeah,
maybe it's like the grass is always greener kind of thing for people in Nashville looking at Texas.
There's no AC, right?
Yeah, that was always my deal, is like, make sure that if you're booking it, you're booking it like early spring or like really late.
Yeah.
Into the fucking end of the summer. So you're trying to catch that fall, you know. Yeah,
weather.
You know, because it was hot. There's no AC. And then the bathrooms are directly beside side stage, so people walk right through the guitar vault and stuff to go to the bathroom.
Crazy.
And stuff. So it's just a crazy old experience, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool to play once or twice, but definitely.
Yeah, legendary spot more than like all of the fun things that you get used to from other venues.
Absolutely.
For sure. That's one of the crazy things, too. Like, you're seeing all these new venues pop up, like here in town.
Yeah, what's that spot called?
Well, the
Pinnacle.
Truth, Pinnacle with yeah. AG, mm-hmm. and then the Truth that's popping in from Live Nation.
Yeah.
That are just like well built sonically, well built, you know, for hospitality and kind of built for like those little underplays almost, you know?
Yeah. Which is cool, but then, you know, there's something that goes back to Green Hall where you have to pay in cash and, yeah. you know, they don't have any. I mean, it's kind of trashy,
yeah.
But it's cool, you know.
I love that.
Luckenbach, same thing, you know.
Yep, and that's what I always talk about. Like, I mean, this country is there's little roadside honky tonks all over the place, you know. Like, I think about the Dusty Armadillo.
I was just about to say that.
You know, I'm from Western Pennsylvania, so we would travel and go to the Dusty, stay at like the crappiest motel that we could, and see a show, you know.
Yeah,
and that's there's sweet. You know, other places like. Even Thirsty Cowboy, it's another Ohio spot that's like in a strip mall, but like a legendary room that had Cody Johnson. He played the rodeo and then he came up and played it at the Thirsty Cowboy like 3 days later to 600 people, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
But it's just every area has that, but I feel like Texas is just built for it and just has so much appreciation for original music.
Yeah, that's what I would say about like so just in those, most of those that I named you mm-hmm. are within an hour of each other.
Yeah.
You know, I can think where I live, there's 10 to 15 dance halls that are within an hour of me. Yeah. So it is kind of a overpopulated thing. A lot of them are dying. A lot of yeah. those are dying dance halls, and 'cause nobody really two steps anymore. And it's hard to find a band with that budget to play yeah. your dance hall and stuff. And
yep.
so it's a dying art, but yeah, I mean, it is, you can go literally anywhere in Texas and see a show on Friday.
Yeah.
You know, which is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the crazy thing about Texas, is that we just have such a culture for music. And I guess that's kind of, we can thank the Germans for bringing over all the beer and the dance halls, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
Putting them in South Texas. So it's kind of a cool experience for sure, but also it's a little overwhelming, I think. Sometimes there's so many people playing all over. On any given Friday, there's 10 to 15 bands playing in San Antonio.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, who do you go see?
Right. Yeah, that's such an interesting thing. Thinking about that, and of course, like streaming, you know, everything seems a little bit saturated, you know, with how songs are releasing, as opposed to like when I was a kid, it was you'd maybe get one song before the album, then you get an album, you know,
yeah.
and then you'd have to like go buy the album and listen to it. And you're like, I don't know if I like this. And then by the third listen, you're like, I love it.
You yeah, know? Exactly.
Now it's just new music all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's a struggle. And I know like for your new record that you guys have coming out, you've been dropping songs along the way.
Oh, yeah.
You had like the little EP that you had a couple of those songs on before.
Mm-hmm.
I guess just two songs on that, right? Or
yeah.
maybe it was just like two single releases as one. And then now it's like the pre-save for the record with all the stuff that you have coming out. So we've gotten to listen to all of that stuff. And man, I mean, Own This Bar is like one of those songs where it's like just, every time I hear it, I have the biggest smile on my face.
Yeah.
Because it is like just such a funny story. Everybody knows a guy or a girl that is like that, but hearing the way you twisted it. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that song and just how the crowd's been reacting to it.
The crowd's been reacting crazy to it. When we were writing it, we actually wrote a song that morning that took us probably like 2.5 hours to write. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm writing with Liz, she'll just be like, all right, you know, flip to a blank page and let's start another one, you know, and mm-hmm. she just doesn't let you go. Mm-hmm. She'd just be like, ah, keep going.
Smart.
And I'm like, all right, all right. And so we started on this song. This song took 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was immediately, I knew, I was like, this is going to be hilarious. Like, the crowd's going to love this. I still don't know if the crowd knows, you know, exactly what I'm talking about with all the lyrics, especially like the first reference I make, you know, to the pastor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, you know, the younger crowd really knows who that is or anything, but mm-hmm. I think that for the most part, it's pretty tongue in cheek enough that they can get, you know, a yeah. good sense of it. And it's a really cool song to play in the set because they get to sing it with me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's just such a fun song. I haven't gotten to see that live yet, but here again, I'm like, I want to see this.
Oh, it's so cool. That's the cool part of playing a show is just getting to watch how everybody reacts. It's yeah. like, man, it's cool.
When I was a kid, I would listen to all this music that everyone, it's like kind of like timeless stuff, and it's like so simple. And I'm like, it's so simple. Why do people like this so much or whatever? And I find that like the bigger shows I play, that like the simpler ideas just seem to translate so much easier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like having like a good idea is just like, save so much trouble. I don't know. I was like so obsessed with like complex music, like ideas and stuff like that. But having just like a fun idea just seems to like, it just spreads faster. You know what I mean? 100%. So it's like less things for people to get overly confused about, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. I've discovered that, you know, sometimes we've written some songs that were like my favorite because they were like hard to write and they mm-hmm. were like mind benders or whatever.
Totally.
And then it doesn't translate. The crowd doesn't understand it at all, or they don't stream it very much. And so I've learned to just let the crowds pick my favorite songs.
I mean, that's a good way to do it, yeah. honestly.
Yeah.
Post it on social media and see which one people like the most. There's
yeah.
your A&R research done yeah. for you.
Yeah. Right. Pay $0 for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of it, too. And then, you know, as your sets get longer, then you take people on the journey. Right?
Yeah,
you have those heady, deeper songs, some of the sad songs, but you know, you need those fun party songs too. Like I saw a clip of Randy Montana talking about Beer Never Broke My Heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, we just, that one just came out, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, again, we were at the stadium this year and 99,000 people screaming it back, you know, it's crazy.
It's so sick.
It's nuts.
That's a simple one for sure.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
But that's like, that's part of it is, I think you do a really good job of balancing like traditional sounding honky tonk music with like just a song that you would hear at a bar with really serious stuff and then the cheeky fun stuff. I think yeah. sometimes artists will get, in my opinion, like too like, oh, I have to do this thing that's like completely artistry and every song has to be that. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with the beer drinking song.
No.
You know?
No, absolutely not. But also it's like, it's more fun to just express yourself, you know?
Yeah.
In every way. I that's kind of how I felt with this record. I was like, I want it to be sad to funny, old to new, as country mm-hmm. as it gets.
Yep.
You know, and that's just all, I think that's all my listeners could ask for.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that's, I mean, that's the country music experience.
Exactly.
You know? That's all of it. It's, let's have a good time. Let's be serious. Let's take away your problems for a while. Maybe we'll put a sad one in there to make you think about him a little more.
Exactly.
You know, but all the while, just checking out of your day-to-day life for a solid hour or 2 hours, you know?
100%.
What rooms have you been getting to play around as well? Like anything super cool that you've gotten to play?
I mean, we're playing... let me think. We played Whitewater... We're going to play Whitewater again soon.
Whitewater Amphitheater?
Yeah, I love
it's
that.
It's so fun. It's basically, it's in outside Austin, right?
Yes, sir.
I played it one time, and there's like a floating creek on the back. That's just like a, and people are just on tubes, and you're playing, and you can just see them out back.
So cool.
Yeah, it is pretty sick. And floors, we're playing outdoor floors. We're doing two nights out there this summer. It'll be really cool.
Yeah.
We're playing a lot of shows up north here pretty soon. I guess the Northeast, which we've never been to. So we're kind of just testing out those markets. I'm trying to get out of Texas a little bit for the rest of this year just to kind of explore new markets that we haven't been to. Kind of like Stagecoach, this was our second time in California ever.
Yeah.
So oh, I'm wow. like, I definitely just need to, we need to go experience the rest of the country and get our numbers in and kind of figure out where we're standing.
I think that's a big thing too, that like people, you know, it's again, there's so many artists from Texas in Texas that have made a great career driving in a 6 mile circle and made a lot of money doing that. Cause
and
it's
you
not,
can do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But same thing. Like when I talked about Kojo, like he had that huge show at the rodeo, like the first year it was big. And then we saw him play to 600 people. It's like, that's what he did to get to how big he is around the country now. You know?
Yeah. It's
I'm sure that's an ego check too.
100%. I mean, that's what's funny about it is like, yeah, we'll go from playing. I mean, we did 5,000 in Lubbock the other day till
that's insane.
To we'll go up to freaking New York and play to 200, 300 people.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, it's definitely a crazy experience. Like,
yeah. But that's the journey too. And those 200 people turn to 2,000 people turn
100%.
To, you know, that's how you get it. So it's 20,000 people or plus everywhere.
Yeah. And
know?
That's how we did it with Texas too. It's like, I mean, and I love that cause it's the hard nosed road dog way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know. I just think that's not lost on us yet, you know?
Yeah. I love that.
You can, I mean, TikTok helps, but
for sure. Yeah.
Playing shows is how you get better, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
No
there's
doubt, bro.
There's no substitute for playing to less people than you thought were going to be there and still giving it your all. You know what I mean?
Because then when you have the big show, I mean, like, it's a no brainer. It's easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been there.
Yeah.
You've been there in the hardest spot that there could have possibly been when some girl's talking up front in the middle of your set, doesn't give a damn about you. She's sitting on the stage not facing you. You know?
Totally.
Yep.
But that's, or like, even that's like playing festivals is that way, kind of. It's not for your crowd.
Yeah.
You know, it's not 5,000 people in Lubbock. You know, it's like Stagecoach people.
Yeah.
So which, honestly, different. I was surprised. Stagecoach was, I mean, those crowds, you could have fooled me. I could have been like, that was Lubbock, Texas, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, it was crazy. Great. It was honestly really cool to see how they reacted, which makes me want to go even more, you know. I'm like, why have we been missing out on these markets?
Yeah.
And when you look at the data and stuff, it makes sense. Like, we need to be getting out here.
Yeah.
Because eventually we need, you know, all of America needs to be our home base, because I'm looking at the data for all these other countries now, and I'm like, you know, we need to be getting over there.
Australia.
Oh, yeah. We just came back from Australia on the CMC.
Yeah.
And that was crazy. I mean, I couldn't believe the fans there.
They're seeing the deep cuts, too.
That was what was mind-blowing. It's like they did their research before we came. They looked at the lineup, and everybody on the lineup, they were like, we're going to make sure we have the most of everybody on this lineup, because we don't want to waste money going out to the show and not know who some of these singers are.
Yeah.
I was like, that's crazy.
I love that. And I have some friends that are from Australia, and they say, like, we know how hard it is to get here, so
oh, yeah.
we appreciate when people do.
100%.
You know? Which is, I think, a super cool thing to hear them say. Of course, the people that I'm friends with are wild country music fans mm-hmm. and listen to everything.
Yeah.
But I think that's an impactful thing, too. It's country music isn't just countrywide. Country music is across the world.
Oh, yeah.
And it is just getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah, especially with all these new collabs. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, country music as a genre has just exploded into so many different categories than I thought it could have been before.
I know.
So
crazy.
It's crazy. You can take you anywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sydney is Luke's biggest streaming city.
It's wow. Wild. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, yeah, we went over there and it was just like, Cappy was like, we could have played 10 nights in Brisbane and sold them all. I'm like,
so
what?
Crazy.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. And
the food was great there, too.
And the coffee's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the food's so healthy. Everything's green and all these, like, delicious fruits and vegetables and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I love Australia. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time, yeah. I mean, I'd never experienced anything like that. The people were crazy, crazy cool, too.
Parts of it are very similar to Texas.
Yeah,
but
they
instead
are.
Of being, like, what do they call it? They have like a term for like rednecks, bogans.
Bogans.
Yeah, yeah, it's like they're out there and you know, but it's like they're eating kangaroo and stuff.
Backcountry people, yeah.
We had some kangaroo.
Yeah, tastes fine.
Honestly, I was like, dang, oh, pretty good.
Does it taste like chicken like everything else?
It wasn't chicken. It tasted like some type of steak.
Yeah, I would say closer to like maybe venison.
Okay. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but yeah.
That's great. So the record, like, what are some of your favorite songs that, A, have dropped already? And then maybe after that, we'll talk about, like, what you're most excited that hasn't came out yet.
I Own This Bar, obviously, is one of my favorites. I Ain't Trying is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That one's kind of a crazy song because I was listening to Jake Worthington's record while we were in the process of cutting, you know, like, the first six songs on this record. Mm-hmm. And I heard Homes in Oklahoma and was like, well, son, we got to have a Western Swing song on this record. You know?
I want to talk about Western Swing.
And so I was like, I've been on a Big Ball Wills kick that month and been listening to a bunch of songs, and we called Bryce trying to see if I could get a write with him to write something. And he was like, well, I'm in a write right now. You know, let me see what I can do, you know. And about an hour later, he calls me and goes, don't give me an assignment. Expect me not to feel it, son, you know. Sent me the song, and I was like, dang, that's pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
And we ended up cutting it like 2 weeks later, and I was like, wow.
Bada-bing.
Yeah, that's great.
Couldn't ask for anything better. So those two songs right there are my favorites to play live. The crowd goes nuts. Mm-hmm. But some of my favorite songs that haven't come out yet, I'm really a big fan of Mrs. Green. I'm a big fan of Hurts by Heart. May S just kills that. Her vocals are amazing.
She's so great.
Don't Know More is one of my favorites. That one just came out. I also really like That's How Hearts Get Broken. That's an old Chris Stapleton cut that was... I was just like, how the heck has nobody ever done anything with this? And Am I All Alone is an old Roger Miller... he wrote a verse and a chorus of this song, and Vince Gill and Glenn Campbell found it and ended up writing the rest of it and putting it on their 2017 record for Glenn Campbell.
Yeah.
But just crazy. A beautiful song. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that where I was like, this is country music history. You know, we have to have this on the record.
I love that.
So it was... honestly, when we were putting this together, like you were saying, it's the world consumes music such a weird way mm-hmm. that I have never written for a record. So I just wrote a bunch of country songs, and the label was like, hey, you got to put a record out. And I was like, well, it's going to be a bunch of country songs. You know, I don't know what else to do. So that's kind of how we settled on Real Damn Deal. I really didn't even like the title at first because it's a little cocky. And then I was like, I don't care, whatever. You know, we got to do something. And I can't think of anything other than a collection of sad old country songs, you know, something like that.
Some are new, though.
Yeah right.
That name, like you said, it kind of jumps out at you, but it's not like, I don't think it's too boastful in modern country music either.
A little ego is fine, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think you can't really be an artist without believing in yourself to some degree.
100%.
You know, like, I've had friends that are artists, and they go, you know, sometimes I think I can't sing at all and I'm not worth anything. Sometimes I get on stage and I feel like I'm the best that's ever done it.
Yeah, I feel that.
You know what I mean? So it's like, if you're not confident that you're not a good musician, then what are you doing out here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, go pour cement. You know what I mean? But like...
Exactly.
Like, you got to have at least some conviction what you're doing.
100%.
You know what I mean? And then it's because you're leading the team. You know, you've got a band and crew and management and producers and all these people that they're all following your example. And you have to be the guy that's like, this is good stuff. I believe in this. Let's all push together. And I think it's like, yeah, your shit's good. You know?
Yeah. So good. And as we were listening to it, it's funny too, because Kurt was like, this isn't what I thought we were going to be hearing. And then the next one he came on and he's like, this is what I thought we'd be hearing.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. But I think that's part of the coolness of the stuff that, you know, we've listened to is it is all over the place, but it's also all traditional sounding country. Mm-hmm. Some of it sounds new, but it still sounds traditional.
Yeah, you know, it's got the fling of a little newness to it. And you've got to do what you got to do to get on certain places.
Yeah.
And I understand that, but I'm not going to go 180 from what my heart says.
Right.
So, you know, we've just been working this as closely as we could to you know, a good neo-traditional balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it fits the 80-20 rule, like, perfectly. You know what I mean? Where it's, like, it's familiar and there's that freshness to it also.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. Mm-hmm. What are you touring with band-wise live? Like, how many,
so we've
how many
got
folks you got out there?
We've got two lead guitar players, bass player, drummer, pedal steel player. And looking to try to find a fiddle player right now.
I was going
to
ask if you had steel and fiddle out. I know it's hard to carry sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially in the early ages, budget-wise, which is why Luke makes me play fiddle sometimes. But but that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's great.
No, my pedal steel player, he was really excited. He heard I was doing this podcast, and he was like, oh, no way, dude. You got to tell him I said hey.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what's his name?
His name's Wyatt Wilson.
Okay. Well, I'll look him up.
Heck yeah.
Afterwards, yeah.
Hell
yeah,
yeah,
it's
cool.
Very cool.
I always say Kurt's like the mayor of the Steel Players Union.
I mean, yeah. There's not very many of them out there, so nah. You know.
But I will say that there is a lot more, I feel like, recently that are cropping up.
I've seen so many on TikTok mm-hmm. playing, and like, yeah. I guess there's a bunch of new guys starting out and stuff. That's
totally
good.
Yeah, and like my buddy Dalton, like, he's got a steel player who's like 20 years old and he's ripping. You know what I mean?
Yeah, heck yeah.
I'm like, because like when I moved to town, it was like 2012, and it was like, you know, like FGL and Sam Hunt and everything. There weren't a lot of folks that were like trying to get into playing steel.
Yeah.
So, and now that, you know, traditional's new again, the old is new again. So there's a lot of kids that are like digging into playing it.
Yeah.
Playing dobro and fiddle players and all this different stuff like that.
I think that's a cool part of it too, is social media having the ability to like, show. I mean, so Chandler Walters got his gig
perfect
playing
example.
Steel for Ernest
yep.
from social media.
100%.
You know, and now he's doing his artist career as well. Of course, has had songwriting success with the Big Loud Camp.
Heck yeah.
You know? And that's such a cool platform, not just for artists, you know, which you experience like seeing that like A&R for your songs. You can figure out what they like right away.
Yeah.
It's a cool place for people to show that thing too, and honestly like find gigs.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, most of the guys that I've had, most of the guys in my band I found on social media some way like that.
So wow. Cool.
I was thinking about this also. It's like, you know, I've got all my gigs just through like friends, because social media wasn't like what it is now, you know.
Yeah.
It was like TikTok wasn't out and Instagram was new, but it was like everyone would just post photos of their food. It wasn't like videos or anything like that. And But I was like, I wonder like if I would have gotten the Luke gig if that was the case. I probably would be grinding on social media if I didn't have a gig right now, like for sure.
I told Kurt, it was during COVID. I moved here like during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, that was right when TikTok was becoming TikTok.
Yeah.
And I was like, Kurt, you could be so famous on TikTok if you literally just played like 90s, 2000s country music on steel guitar for people. I'm like, you're too good looking. It would work right away.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I just didn't feel like
doing it all the
time. He didn't feel like going through all those DMs.
Well, he was also already on salary, so he was good.
Yeah. I had my gig already, so.
Yep. I love it. But I've got to see your show when you were played in town at the Exit Inn.
Oh,
so
heck
that
yeah.
That was awesome. And that was the last time I got to see a full show. So.
We've changed the set since then. And I mean, we'll be back soon, though. So
yeah,
I'll get you some tickets.
Dude, I'd love to. Big fan. I mean, the crowd, sometimes the Nashville crowd's wild, but your crowd was great.
Heck yeah.
And that's, in my opinion, one of the things, too, you can tell. Like, when someone comes to Nashville and they play and the crowd's into it, you're like, okay, these aren't just people from the industry here hanging out. Like, these are actual fans here to see the music, which I always love to see.
Which is also hard because, you know,
absolutely.
You come to Nashville and you only play so many times.
Yep, yep, yep.
And every time that you do play, all the industry folks want to come play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a difficult balance to try to find the right place to play where you can have a great crowd.
Yes.
That the industry folks can watch.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
And I think that's been, you know, kind of our goal, at least playing Nashville, is just try mm-hmm. to find a place where we can make sure we're not taking too big of a step before we get to the next one, you know?
Yeah. And that's why I try to go outside of town to see shows still, too. I don't get to do it as much as I would like or used to, but...
Well, and that's the thing. It's so hard to go see shows.
Yeah.
It's especially being an artist or musicians, or you know, it's difficult to find time. It's especially if you have to travel to it.
Yeah.
And absolutely. For the fans, like the prices of
yep.
Oh, everything. Yeah. Did you hear the George Strait ticket prices this weekend?
I couldn't even imagine.
No. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was just crazy.
I'm sure.
I looked into going some last year, and it was just like, you know, four figures. It's like a grand to get. I'm like, which I think, like, I might regret not doing that, you know, but we'll see. I've never seen him, so.
I've never seen him either, and that's what I say. Like, I'm like, man, that's true. I do want to see him because it's like, man, what would I pay for Merle Haggard? If I could go see Merle Haggard right now, like, what would I pay for that? I don't know.
Probably
$2,000. I'd pay $2,000 to go see Merle Haggard, you know?
Yeah, if you know that you're not going to get another shot.
Yeah.
You've seen Willie?
I've never seen Willie either. That's a big one that I've got to try to... I want to open up for Willie before, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
We did it a couple times, and it was like... just fucking crazy, man. And I was like really into photography at the time, so I just brought my camera down the photo pit, and I just watched... I waited for the press to leave for the first three songs, but I watched the entire set from the photo pit and just shot it and just listened to it, and it was... absolutely freaking incredible.
That's crazy.
And he threw his bandana out, and it went flying, and the wind kind of caught it, and then it just landed in my hands. And I was like, I can't keep this. I found a little kid and gave it to him.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I wanted to.
Yeah. Just know, little kid, I wanted this.
Yeah. Well, so I've seen Willie a couple times, mm-hmm. and amazing. And it's one of those things where it takes him a couple songs to get like rolling,
warmed up.
But then once he gets rolling, it's Willie. And then I had tickets to see George Jones with my dad, and it was the tour that he was on when he passed away, so we didn't get to see him.
Oh,
he passed away kind of in the middle of it. That's but that terrible. Was my dad's. Yeah, it was tough. But that was my dad's favorite was Conway Twitty, and then George Jones was like right after. And so we had tickets, and it was close to our hometown, probably about 45 minutes from where we were, and never got to see him. But
dang.
I called him when I heard the news, and he's like, "We must have did it to him, Nick." You know, but that is one of the things. It's like you want to see the people when you can.
Absolutely.
Even like outside of country, like some of my favorite, like I got to see Chris Cornell a couple times, and probably my favorite vocalist of all time.
Right? Yeah.
And if I wouldn't have got to see him, I'd go crazy. And like one of my favorite rock bands, Rage Against the Machine, I got to see them. Zach broke his leg, and they canceled almost the rest of the tour after, but they played the show that I had tickets to.
Oh, heck yeah.
So I was like, he sat down the whole show, but I was just so happy to see him because, you know, not that they're that old, but they just don't tour. They're not together still.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's a big part of it. And just being a fan of music, you want to see not just your favorite people, but the greats.
Yeah, the greats. And I remember when Michael Jackson died, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Was that planned? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you mostly listen to country growing up? Or did you
I listened to some. So, like, my first concert ever was Elton John.
Yeah.
And then I saw him on his reunion tour not too long ago. And mostly my mom listened to, like, 80s rock. My dad listened to country music, but... my mom kind of was all over the place. She doesn't really like country music still to this day. She says it's a bunch of sad songs about your wife leaving you and your horse dying and your dog running away, you know? So that's how it is. But, I guess her influence was kind of, you know, the 80s rock on me.
Like hair metal stuff or like Journey or...
Journey, hair metal, but also like, I mean... Brown Eyed Girl to, you know,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
To Don't Stop Believing, I'd say, you know, I mean, it's all over the place. And then my dad just kind of listened to whatever was on the radio. So that was where I kind of got introduced to country at first, which was just whatever was on the radio country.
Yeah.
When I fell in love with traditional country music was kind of when I went to my grandparents. They always had, the Opry on TV and they always had their giant vinyl collection in the garage with the, you know, their favorite records kind of sitting on the top. So I'd look at them and figure out what their stuff was. And that's where I figured out about Marty Robbins and Merle Haggard and, you know, all the greats, really.
The good stuff.
The good stuff, yeah. And just kind of hanging out around them where I found these songs that kind of told stories that I fell in love with.
Yeah.
You know, where you could close your eyes and still see every word that was going on, you know. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's something different. And that's kind of how I fell in love with like the traditional style of country music. Started just digging into it, doing my research, you know. And then I guess I kind of started doing my own thing. And at first it was more just whatever I was writing. And then I kind of decided, you know, this traditional, neo-traditional kind of route is where I want to go. And that's kind of how we ended up with this record here.
I love it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, congrats on the record. It sounds incredible.
Thank you so much. I'm excited for the fans to hear it. You know how it is. It's a hurry up and wait game. So
always. It's a, but that, I mean, you're at the finish line now.
Yeah.
You know, we're just a couple weeks away from the whole project being out.
I know. I'm so ready for this to be out. And then I'm like, you know, the next stuff has got to come out. That's how, and the fans are like that too. You know, they're, as soon as this comes out, they're like, when's the next stuff dropping?
I'm sure you're already writing a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, just got done with the write right before this. So.
Oh, yeah, we talked about
trying
that.
To stay in. That's how I feel, you know, if we're not, even if we're on the road, you know, running around, running and gunning, it's, if I'm not writing, then we're not working on the future.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So it's a hard act of balance, you know?
Are you still writing great songs, or is there like, are you trying to steer the next thing any particular way? Or
we've got like a little cowboy EP that I think we've kind of put together that might come out next, and then we've got a couple singles. Everything we've done really up until this point has, we've done one EP, but everything else has kind of been singles or small, like 2 or 3 song EP releases. So, you know, I've just been trying to kind of figure out what the fans want. I like Gavin Adcock's one a month kind of is a cool way he did it last year. So I might try something like that, but, you know, definitely had to put a catalog together just to get, I mean, hell, I've been playing the same set for 3.5 years, kind of tiring.
Yeah.
You know, it's time for something new.
Yeah. Yeah. Add some new blood to that, which
absolutely,
I mean, you're going to have the firepower. I mean, you've been releasing from this record and of course playing some of those, but
heck yeah.
Another, of course, like the full record is going to give you the firepower, and then you can get to see what the fans love.
Heck yeah, I'm excited, man. We've been playing a lot of it, so we're trying to integrate it just a little bit before it comes out.
Yeah.
Are you all like aiming for radio at all, or?
Yeah, we're going to try to send I Own This Bar to radio.
Sick. I love that.
Heck yeah.
Such a fun song, like we talked about, and
it's a hit.
Yeah, I love it. Sounds like a hit. It sounds like the radio. You know what I mean? It's like just silly fun. Anyone that pays attention at all is going to be smiling, whether they're paying attention to the melody or paying attention to the words and the silliness that's built into it.
Absolutely. And it's funny how songs like that are like the easiest ones, you know. It's cool.
I love it.
True, man. Well, thanks for coming in and chatting with us and sharing a drink. And
heck yeah.
Spending, I know you're a busy guy. You've been flying in from California and all these different places. Hang out Post Malone, probably drinking Bud Lights and hopefully not smoking too many cigarettes. But
shoot, dude, I had to smoke one. Couldn't turn one down.
Yeah. It's like smoking weed with Willie, like blasting a cig with Post Malone.
Yeah. That's right.
That's on the bucket list for sure.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Thank y'all for having me.
Of course, brother.
We appreciate you for taking the time to come out here, and can't wait to see you in the next show, brother.
Yes, sir. See y'all soon.
See ya.